Our topic today is the issue of kitnios on Pesach. So the basic makoros begin with the story on the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amar Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that there are only five grains which are acceptable for achilas matzah, which are chitim, seorim, kusmin, shifon, shibolas, shuol. And those are the only five grains which are acceptable because the Gemara says these are the only five grains which are boin lidei chimutz. And since they are boin lidei chimutz, adam yotzu behen yidei chovaso b'matzo. Yotzu to exclude what? They are excluding orez v'dochan, which in most places we translate orez as rice, like arroz, and dochan is millet, although there is one Rashi, which is problematic, where says differently, but let's assume that orez and dochan are rice and millet. Those don't create chimutz. They have some sort of leavening process. They have some sort of anaerobic respiration, some kind of fermentation. So the Yerushalmi says, of course they do. We did an experiment. And whatever that process, that bubbling looks like, we call that sirchon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes along and he says, no, I call that chimutz. But the Gemara says later on, leis v'chash lahad Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. No one accepts the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, the Yerushalmi says that when they experimented, he says, that is chimutz. The Tanaim did not agree with him. And they said, no one follows that. And everyone eats rice on Pesach, which is evident from the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yudalad Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that Rav Huna would specifically make his Shnei Tavshilim on Pesach night out of Silka and Arosa because Leis Techayish Laha Rav Yochanan and Nuri. So at this point, everyone's eating rice and millet, and it's not a problem. Where does it start to get a little bit dicey? There is this. What's that?
He doesn't use dochan. Gemara there.
Probably because no one wants to eat dochan. But it's the same thing. The Gemara tells us in Mem Amid Beis that there is something called chasisi. And the people in the home of the Reish Galusa, they were using chasisi in their kederas. And Rav Papi was okay with that. But Rava said, I'm not so sure why you should do that. Even though Rava himself would machile kidra b'chsisi, he would smooth out or thicken the kedera that he was cooking with chasisi. That's not such a great idea for the people in the house of the Reish Galusa, because we know that the Reish Galusa unfortunately had avodim who were unscrupulous. What's the origin of this din? So Rashi says, what we're dealing with here is chasisi is kimcha de avshuna, so that's not such a chiddush. The only challenge is that the Gemara in Mem Tesamid Beis, Lamed Tesamid Beis, already told us that it is not a good idea, lo limchi inish kedira bekimcha de avshuna. So why would Rava here be using kimcha de avshuna if the Gemara earlier said it's not a good idea? Tosus raises this problem, and therefore they translate kimcha de avshuna, chasisi, as Kemach Shel Adashim. And Kemach Shel Adashim, that's not advisable because it's not maybe Lidei Chimutz Kolkach. Yeah. Same words in the Tosa Shantz. It's a little bit tricky. What do you make of that? That it's not maybe Lidei Chimutz Kolkach. Because you would think that either something is Chimutz or it's not Chimutz, which is why when the Rosh quotes this din, the Rosh takes out the Kolkach. And he simply says in Perek Beis in Simen Chaf Ches, he says, Pirish Chasisi, Mine Afia, Shetochenen Osa, Umavashan Osa Mamayim, Umolan Ba Es Hakadera, Ubaarch Pirish Kemach Shal Adashim Sheino Ba Li De Chimutz, Velo Chayshinan Dilma Asi Li Ichalufe Bishar Kemach. So according to the first shot of the Rush, this is talking about matzah meal, so it's been totally baked, and therefore it's different than kimcha de avshuna. But according to the second approach, similar to Tosfos, we now have some inkling, some makor, that kemach shel adashim, while it is not mevili dechimutz, if you have a circumstance where the people are unscrupulous, there was Rava's suggestion that that should not be used on Pesach because of these unscrupulous people. So what if they're unscrupulous? Why should that be a problem on Pesach? So we take a look at the what seems to be the earliest source on this issue of kitnios, and that is the Hagolos of Rabbeinu Peretz on the Smach. The Smach is the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan offered by the Balei Tosfos, the Reb Yitzchak of Kurvile, and on the bottom, the Smach, Rabbeinu Peretz there, he quotes that there was a minug, and it seems it's clear from this that it was a long-standing minug, not something that was made up 5 minutes ago. It was a long-standing minug not to eat certain, we'll call them legumes, certain kitnios, on Pesach. And the reason that the Smach, the Hagolos and the Smach offers is that it is osi li'ichalufei im daisa. It is going to be confused with porridge or farina that you would be making. And this seems to be what could explain why Rava would not be happy with the servants in the house of the Reish Galusa using kemach shel adashim, because it could be confused with regular kemach, and because they're not scrupulous, they won't be so careful, and it's gonna mix. We're gonna replace inadvertently. Obviously, we're not choshish that they're gonna be machtila lahachis, but they're going to inadvertently use in their dish, in their kedera, in their daisa, instead of using kasha lepesach flour made out of kidneys, they're going to use this wheat, which is actually chametz gomor. And this concern is quoted by the Mordechai, who quotes the Smach. So now you have serious Rishonim who are quoting this din, even though the Smach quotes the Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, one of the greatest anakim of the Balei HaTosfos, who ate tolin, who ate beans. The Ri Miparis, Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, he ate the foys, whatever the name what they gave to the particular legumes, the beans that they were dealing with. He did eat it, but others were not. And this fits with the Maharil's description that we have Gzeira Atu the Chameshas Minim. So this is one approach to the concern of kitnios, that a person will inadvertently substitute Chameshas Minim for kitnios. The Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam you saw has a second option, which is not quoted by the later authorities, but he says, nah, this is a very localized concern, that there was a particular min of zunin, of grain that was, it was sown, and then when it somehow grew under the earth, it decomposed, but it continued to grow in an abnormal way during an odd year when there wasn't a lot of rain, and then when it grew subsequently, it looked a lot like, you know, kidneys, but it was really wheat kernels. So it's wheat that doesn't look like wheat. So it's a local form of dilma ichalufei, because otherwise he can't really understand why it would be an issue of ichalufei. But
he wasn't such a fan of
it. He was not a fan of the minig of general, but he was trying to be matzdik the minig based on this one concern. But it's still, this is the Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach of Narbonne.
Zunin,
because it's like Miloshon Zona Acharei Elohei Nechar Aretz. It strayed from the normal way that it grows. Yeah?
Zunin is in the first mission of Kalayim.
Yeah.
It's some plant that always
grows
with wheat.
So he describes it as...
He's talking about a plague of wheat.
He's talking about some kind of Zona. It's because it's Zona Acharei Elohei. Exactly. He thinks it's actual wheat, but because it had this... But with the,
it looks like some
kind of kidneys. That's what he says. So he's trying to be matzdik the minig.
It sounds like his explanation is that it's not all kidneys. It would be
this.
He's trying to figure it out.
Exactly. So that's what he's suggesting. So option one, bigadol, is this ichalufe concern, which the Rabbeinu Manoach gives you a second kind of ichalufe from this very localized issue. But the Trumas Hadeshen, the Halakha Trumas Hadeshen, and Kuf Yud Gimel, everybody saw, he says it's a different concern. He thinks The concern is that maybe there is actual chameshes mine dagon, which is mixed into the kitnios product. And as we know, chametz bepesach, it's
not bittul.
There we go. There's no bittul. It's b'mashu. And not only that, if you haven't made it into flour yet, if it's yavish b'yavish, us Ashkenazim are going to be machmir, even if it was nesari of kodem pesach, because we're going to say chozer v'neir, like we saw. So out of this consideration, that maybe nisarvu chamesh asminim, that is going to be a problem. Now, this formulation of the Trumas Hadeshen, if you look in the tour, he says it's a chashash. Later Achronim have varying degrees of understanding this chashash, whether or not it is what we would generally say is a concern of maybe, or there is this line of understanding the Trumas Hadeshen that it's essentially impossible, that there's no way to get out of this concern. This the likelihood is so overwhelming that you should always be concerned, even if you check it, right? Because if you assume that it's just a chashash, so then you should have somebody sit there and check it carefully. But if you assume that this chashash is like one of those chazakas that we're so concerned that even if you check it, it's going to be a problem. So this is a more serious concern. So there are varying degrees within the Achronim of how you present the chashash of the Trumas Hadeshen. Is it a general outlying concern, or is it almost an EFJAR, it's almost impossible to avoid this problem? Okay.
Where can we find
discussions of this?
Yeah,
if you look, some of the Trumas were on the Mar Makomos. I don't think I put the Be'er Yitzchak and the Mar Makomos. There's a tshuva we'll mention a little bit from Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, Sechet Tzadok Levracha, in the Be'er Yitzchak and Or Chaim and Simon Yud Aleph, where he discusses this at length. And you get this kind of like vibe from the way that he's describing it, or the way that others describe the tour, that the tour is not just a general chashash, it's more, you'll see there are two different ways that the Achronim seem to emphasize this chashash. To what extent is it just a general chashash, or is it more of a serious concern? Here's
version,
an afkamina.
Sorry, I thought this version of the Trumas Hadeshen had a lot of game time when Kinua was being discussed, whether to baptize Kinua.
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, the pesticides.
We're going to talk about it at the end.
Oh, we are?
We're going to talk about Kinua. That's the biggest thing to talk about. If you want looking more on this Lashon, if you look at the Malamed Lahoel, the Malamed Lahoel has, I think, four tshuvas on kitnios. This one is in Simen Peches. I think he has Pehe, Peva, Pezayin, Peches, something like that. I went through four tshuvas. He has. They're short tshuvas of the Malamed Lahoel. Reb David Zvi Hoffman, Zechut Tzadok Levracha.
So Peches, you
said? Mm-hmm. That's where he's going to talk about this issue. Here's the Nafkamina, which is, the Chok Yaakov says, okay, so now we have two primary concerns when we think about kitnios. Concern number one is maybe it's going to be confused, and concern number two is maybe it's going to be mixed in. So he says, well, maybe a nafkamina between these two is orez, because the reason why you are going to confuse it is because this formulation that the Achronim have, again, this doesn't appear in the Gemara, it's not really in the Rishonim, it's in the Achronim that they characterize the concern as they are both midgan. So he says, orez, you don't make piles out of orez. The way that you harvest orez, apparently, is not to make piles of it in a kri, in a threshing floor somewhere. Right? Alternatively, you could say that midgan is just another way of talking about the way that the product is going to be presented. And so, b'zman hazeh, there is such a thing as rice flour. So maybe this nafkamina goes away, because maybe midgan doesn't just mean you make it into a pile. Maybe it means you make it into a flour. But the way the Chok Yaakov presented is that he thought that this might be an afkamina. Lamaisa, he rejects that. The Chok Yaakov says nobody is machalic this way, and therefore it's not an afkamina, and you have to assume that we're going to be choshish perhaps either for both reasons, which is why nobody talks about it, or midgun could be redefined not as in the traditional way of making a kri, but as creating a product that would be used like dagon, like flour. So today, there is almond flour and there is rice flour. So these are both made into flour. Another nafkamina, perhaps, if you only accepted one of these concerns, is that if you look in the Tshuvas of the Be'er Yitzchak, the one we mentioned earlier in Siman Yud Aleph, he's dealing with shemen kitnios, and he, the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, in the Be'er Yitzchak in Siman Yud Aleph, if you want a copy of the Be'er Yitzchak, you should go to YU, and in the office that used to be the side conference room, it is a conference room now, that was connected to Rabbi Lam's office, Dr. Lam's office. For some reason in there are like a zillion copies of Be'er Yitzchak and Ein Yitzchak.
Why? That's so random.
And I think it's because probably, maybe for the centennial, but at some point, probably Rietz and Dr. Lam invested and assisted Machon Yerushalayim to reprint the Tshuvas of Yitzchak Elchanan. So they got like a million copies of the Machon Yerushalayim, Be'er Yitzchak and Ein Yitzchak. So if you happen to be in YU, go to the fifth floor, to the back corner office, and ask somebody, can I please have a copy of the Be'er Yitzchak or the Ein Yitzchak? And there are lots of them on the shelf. Just fun fact.
So
anyway.
So
the Be'er Yitzchak has a suggestion, and he thinks that we could be lenient on Shemen Kitnios, which we're going to come back to in a little bit. But he thinks you can be lenient on Shemen Kitnios. Why are you going to be lenient on Shemen Kitnios? He says, because when the Truma Sadeshin gave the clear and unequivocal impression that Shemen Kitnios is Aser, he's talking about where you made the Shemen Kitnios on Pesach. But I'm talking where you made the Shemen Kitnios before Pesach.
Why is there a difference?
You tell me! Bingo, it's bottle, says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. The real reason for the Isra of Kitnios is because of that chashash that maybe it's going to be Nisariv. How much is Nisariv? A tiny bit. So if you made the oil on Erev Pesach before the Shach Chamishis, you're going to have Taruvis of Lach Balach. It's going to be bottle, and there's no Chilz of Aneir. So that is the driving argument at length. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, his tshuvas are very long. So this is a long tshuva where he makes this argument that the whole issue that the Truma Sadeshin made with the Shemen Kitnios is only when they made the Shemen Kitnios on Pesach. If they made it before, the issue is it's taruvis, and therefore you don't have to worry about it because it's batal. That's the argument of the Be'er Yitzchak. It's an afkamina between these two. He does not. He kind of like the first Hesber, which was the Svar of the Ma'aril and the Smach with the Mordechai, he kind of like blows past that as not being the Ikar Svara. And therefore he thinks that you could be Mekel if it was made before. Okay. Well, what is included in this prohibition, which we'll define in a little bit, what is included in the prohibition of Kitnios? So the Mordechai uses the term Kitnios, but if you look in the Mishnah and the Darim, the Mishnah and the Darim helps us at least define that. Where the Mishnah and the Darim in Perek Zayin, the Mishnah Aleph, says that Kitnis is not Bechlal Yerek. So at least that's one thing which is helpful, because you see that even in earlier generations, there was a lot of debate about what should be included in this in this chumrah of not eating kidneys. So it's not going to be yarukos. So there's no way you would say that cucumbers or zucchini is going to be included in kidneys. But what else? What are the actual things that are included? So in the Rishonim, they're already talking about the things which are midgun. We saw the Smach was talking about certain kinds of beans. So, if you look in the Pri Chodesh says, if you want to be machmir for this chumrah, you're only machmir on orez. That's all. Why? Because there was a maisa shahaya that they were bodek orez after three times, and they still found chita in it, and therefore you have to aser orez, and that's it.
That's
it. That's the Pri Chodesh. Pichadosh says the whole chumrah is only limited to Oriz. Happens to be that Rav Avadia, Halacha Lamaisa, in both the Chasson Avadia and in the Tshuvas, in Yechavadas, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ches or Tes, I'll tell you, Simen Tes, he says that if you're going to eat right on Pesach, you have to check it heitev really well three times. You have to check the rice three times to make sure that there's no chita in there. So if you follow the Pri Chadash, the only chum is going to be with Oriz. The Ber Heitev here quotes something called Pasvilj, which I'm not sure what that is. And then he quotes an interesting Yesh Omrim. He quotes that there were those who are machmir in coffee, to say that coffee, because it comes in a bean, that is subject to the din of kidneys. He says, even there are Yesh Omrim who say that tea comes from leaves. Ber Heitev quotes it as a Yesh Omrim. There were those who are machmir for tea leaves. But Lamaisa, no one is machmir for coffee or tea, because it's not midgan. You don't make any flour out of it.
Well,
however, I will tell you.
So
I will tell you though, there was a big tararam a couple of years ago, if you remember. A couple of years ago, I was in the CRC. I think we were there for some kolol, like symposium. There was some kashrus symposium, something, and Shalom Fishbane was telling us the latest research on tea, because tea was a big hack that Pesach. Why? Because it turns out there were certain teas that were being pulled because they were creating a gluten sensitivity for people. So once people heard about that there was some gluten question in the tea, they started checking out to figure out, is there any issue of chimut? So it was a big discussion. I remember a couple of years ago, this was a huge tararam, whether it was the tea bags that were tracking the gluten in it, or it was the actual tea, maybe it was mixed in. It became a huge tumult about whether or not you have to find kashal pesach. Is there a problem to create kashal pesach tea? But not because it was kidneys, but because maybe there was something mixed in, which then brings you back to the question of maybe you should consider it kidneys. The dark emoji here says anise, what's that? No. Anise, dark emoji says, is mutter. Anise is star anise, it's a kind of plant, an herb. So maybe you would have thought that this is a problem. So you see that it is not. So herbs, apparently at least anise, star anise, A-N-I-S, is not a problem. So lechor, you would say the same thing for dill weed, right? These other things are not a problem. However, if you look in the Magen Avraham says you should not eat anise on Pesach. Why not? Because he says, because it's E-F shel levarum yafeh. Does that mean that according to the Magen Avraham, anise is included in the Isser of kidneys? It sounds like not. It sounds like more of a practical consideration. But we'll have to see a little bit later whether or not there's going to be enough gemina of that. What about sesame? So in the Malam and Lahol in Simon Pei Zion, the Malam and Lahol says that there was actually a debate about what shum is, what sesame is, and he says that he thinks it's obvious that sesame is whatever. What we call shum is what we call sesame. He quotes the Arabic version of it. So one interesting thing is that in the Tshuva of the Sridi Eish, which we'll mention later, the Sridi Eish says, I'm telling you, if you want to know about kidneys, you have to ask the Malam Lahol, because he was expert in botany.
Study of plants.
Cool. So cool. He says...
Does he have like a mass or something like that?
I don't know, but...
Didn't the
Arab Air have a degree in botany? I don't know. I think the Malam Lahol, I think he had a PhD... from the University of Gießen, maybe. And I don't think it was in botany and horticulture, but it's interesting that we saw this also in the morning. You could see that Balaam and Lahoel, that he was extremely, extremely worldly and well-educated in all areas of life. You know that the Balaam and Lahoel was he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Beis Medrash L'Rabbanim in Berlin, the Rabbinical Seminary, the Yeshiva of Rav Hildesheimer, the Hildesheimer Rabbinical Seminary. He had a PhD, but he was obviously clearly well learned in all secular subjects, because his tshuva on Zmanim was like mind-boggling. The math was Just.
No, can you look that up?
So mind-boggling.
So
he says.
Yeah.
Wikipedia says philosophy.
Philosophy.
Yeah. It's also true that, however, that never receives any formal degree.
That's boring.
Okay. Anyway. So the Malam and Lahomel in Pei Zion says Yesh Lahachmir on sesame, and that you have to treat it like kitnios. Chardol, what do you say about mustard seed? So the Taz says, since it's Godel Besharvitin, it's kitnios. Now one of the later poskim says, and I think maybe the Malam and Lahomel makes this point, it grows in stalks, in these pods. The Malam and Lahomel means, says, and I think others say as well, that does not mean that anything which does not grow in a pod is not kitnios. We used this mashal once, right? Like, all teachers are people. That doesn't mean that all people are teachers. It just means that all teachers are people. So if it grows in a stalk, it's kitnios, but there are other things that are not stalks that also are kitnios, like rice. I don't think that rice grows in a stalk. Right? It grows in a pad. Anyway, so chardol, so mustard, it comes from a seed, and the Taz says, since it's gadol b'sharvitin, it is kikitnios. So anything now, any of these peas, what do you call them? They eat them at the Chinese restaurants?
No peas?
Edamame. Edamame, that's also going to be called kitnios. What about peanuts? Big debate in Europe. The Sridi Eish in Chelak Aleph in Simen Nun, he has a big discussion about this. He quotes a big machlokas in Europe, machlokas about this. One of the tshuvas of the Malam and Lahomel is about peanuts, and he thinks that you should be maker like the Malam and Lahomel, that peanuts are not kitnios. So one of the things the Malam and Lahomel says is that peanuts are not midgan. They don't. First of all, they don't really grow in sharvitin. They grow in a husk, not in a pod, and he says they don't make piles out of them, and they don't make flour out of them. He doesn't point this out, but I think the Sweet Age pointed this out, or others point this out. They don't make peanut flour. Now, it happens to be that today you actually can buy peanut flour. We have it at home, and it's actually very delicious, because if you want peanut flavoring in your milkshake or something, you just shake a little bit in there. It tastes very good. But that's a fraction of what people are using peanuts for. So the Sridi Eish adds one more awesome ha'ara, which is, what are you worried about? You're worried that maybe these things are going to get wet, and it's going to become chametz, which was part of the original discussion about the fact that they would put the kitnios in water, right? The original Truma Sedeshin was, you're putting water on it, and it's for sure becoming chametz. Now, obviously, it can't become actual chametz if it's not from the chametzious medium. But he says, don't worry, the peanuts can't get wet anyway. Why? Because they have a shell. But this is one of those areas where Rav Schechter once commented that for some reason, kitnios is one of these things that it became more and more machmir as the generations go on. So in Europe, half the people ate peanuts, and then in America, nobody ate peanuts. And then people assume that, okay, you're not going to eat peanuts, but you're going to eat peanut oil, and then they said that peanut oil is no good. But be that as it may, in Europe, many people were makel to eat peanuts, did not treat it like kitnios.
Do you think this is a Pesach phenomenon? Like, Pesach is a tendency for most
people. Ken Zayin, it's Pesach, it's probably also a low barrier of entry for most people. Lamaisa today, kashrus agencies do treat peanuts as kitnios in America. The Aruch HaShulchan and Oz Gimel gives you a whole bunch of other things that I don't know what they are, so I can't tell you, but they're Tatriki, which is Grika, something, Pulim, Levonim, white beans, and then he adds the most common thing for us, Chite Tiras, corn. Says corn is kitnios. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Oz Gimel. So what's the parameter? So Rav Moshe has in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph and Samach Gimel, on the Mar Makomos, Rav Moshe says, look, when it comes to peanuts, I think it's not kitnios. Why? because it wasn't in the old tradition. They didn't have peanuts or whatever exactly, you know. They didn't ask for peanuts way back when. So Rav Moshe has an important guideline, and this is also, if you look in the Perek Dalet in footnote, I think it's in 140, in the Mikrai Kodesh, he quotes from Shol Yisraeli the same Nakuda, which is that Havu Delo Lahosif, whatever was accepted for generations as an Isser of Kitnios, that's what we're going to say is subject to the consideration of Kitnios. Bizman Azeh, you might find something that has both Cheshashos, but it's not going to have the formal minug of Kitnios. What's the nafkamina of this?
Quinoa.
Quinoa is not a grain. It's from the vegetable family. But, number one, it grows near wheat, so it could easily get wheat mixed in. Number two, it's put in sacks that would occasionally carry grain that was wheat, so it might get... And, maybe at Pesach Shtickle, it looks like some kind of grain. But Lamaisa, Rav Moshe would say, and this is the consensus of the Kashrus agencies, that it's not subject to the Chumrah of Kinyos, because no one ever knew about it. It didn't exist. I don't know. When I was growing up, never heard of quinoa.
I think it's
same with avocados.
But it sounds like... But it sounds like, at least from the way the Aruch HaShulchan says... What's that?
Peanuts.
So that's the thing. Rav Moshe is more lenient about the peanuts, but the corn, everybody assumes like the Aruch HaShulchan, that in Europe they treated corn like kitnios. But I think the consensus is that it is not kitnios.
But the corn
that quinoa is not kitnios.
Yeah.
However, they say that the Star K has a special, and I'm sure others do also, I just know it from the Star K, they have a special run where they make sure, they have a guy who goes to Bolivia to make sure that the bags that they're using are not bags which were used for wheat, because otherwise you actually have a practical chashash, which is similar to that argument of the Magen Avraham, that anise, the star anise, it might be that it's not kidneys, but... It's still, you have a chashash. And there's going to be, as we'll see in a little bit, there's going to be an important distinction. If you assume that something is subject to kitnios, so then it's usur for Ashkenazim, even if you checked it 100 times. It doesn't matter. You can check it from today till tomorrow. You don't need it, period. But if it's star anise, which it sounds like from the Magen Avraham, it's not kitnios, it's just you can't check it. Well, Lamaisa, if you can go around and check it, you can check it. Good. What about a derivative of kitnios? The shemen, the shuman of kitnios, the trumas hadeshen, is clear that it's usur, it's mutter only bahana. Sounds like it's usur bachila, and that's what the Chayadam points out. However, we mentioned before, in Or HaChaim and Siman Yud Aleph, the Be'er Yitzchak says, no, if you made it before Pesach, it's going to be mutter, because it's going to... It's mutter bachila.
Who's that?
The Be'er Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. So this is an important thing to know, because this is part of the reason why, when it comes to like peanut oil and things like that, you start to wonder, at what point is this chumrah being carried to a degree which is beyond? So the Rambam never heard of this din. The Rif never heard of this din. The Rosh, right, never heard of this din of kitnios.
Okay.
Even Rabbi Yechiel didn't observe this din. So, okay, we're going to be machmer for this din. But havu delo lahosef, you know, now you're going to add more? So the Trumas HaDeshen sounds like, yes, you're going to add more. The Chayadim says yes, but the Be'er Yitzchak says not so fast. So, same thing. If you look, the Malamed Lahoil, he quotes, what about shemen shumshemen? He has two different tshuvas where he was asked about the Minig Yerushalayim. What does he know of people in Yerushalayim? Are they Yerushalmis? Are they machmer for this? So he says he thinks that there were different minhagim, different shitas about eating shemen shumshemin. Because even if you treat the shumshemin like kinios, but maybe the shemen shumshemin you should allow. So he says there were different minhagim. So the malam and the hoel, this nafkamina would be, is the corn syrup. I don't know how they make corn syrup, but if it's a derivative of the corn, so it's going to be that same kind of discussion. And again, based on all these factors, how long ago did they have corn? When was it introduced into the chumra of kidneys? Will give you that level. And the nafkamina of this is probably the biggest issue, which is what happens when it becomes a shas adchak. This was a discussion during COVID. This was actually a discussion during COVID whether or not we should reconsider asterin kidneys. Because there was a real concern. I remember, you know, Rav Shechter was discussing this. There was actually a real concern before we knew the words supply chain. There was actually a concern that people would not be able to get kosher LePesach products. There was an actual concern like this. Lamaisa, I don't think that it ever came. I'm not aware of anybody in any community that it came to a point, a place where they couldn't actually get kosher LePesach products. But if you remember, in those days, in the weeks before Pesach, there was actually a legit concern that people would not be able to get product. Right? Think about it. I remember shopping. We went to the Jewel in Highland Park because we didn't want to be at the Jewel in not to be Motzi Las Chas V'Shalom on, you know, on the beloved Yehudim Yekarim shopping in the Jewel on Howard. But we didn't want to shop in the middle of a pandemic, Erev Pesach, there. That was the time when we were, if you remember the tikkufa, when we were wiping down the products that we bought from the supermarket, Erev Pesach, right? It was crazy, mamish crazy time. But there was plenty of product there. It wasn't like, thank God, we didn't have to worry like we couldn't. But there was a discussion about this. And in Europe, this was very common. You could tell from the Stechemed that was on the Mar Mekomos that every couple of years, people were talking about this. He quotes the tshuva from the Chayyadim in the Nishmas Adam. The Chayyadim is in Kuf Chav Zayin. I gave the wrong Mar Makom, but it's really a lengthy tshuva in the Nishmas Adam and the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. What to do in a case of Shas Adchak? So it gets back to thinking about the tokif of this minug. If you look at the Moruk Tziyah, so the Moruk Tziyah,
he
hates this minug, mamish. He quotes the Chacham Tzvi. He'll do anything.
It's
like one day we'll have enough rabbinic support to get rid of this minig. I did find on the internet that I think it's called the Rabbinical Assembly, which is the board of rabbis of the conservative movement. They got rid of kidneys. They got rid of kidneys. The conservative movement removed the Isra of kidneys. The Moruch says, Iyasher Chele Avadline, my father, the Chacham Tzvi, he was Eishel Hav against this minig, and he had a good reason for it. And that is that he said it was Mevili Day Kula, that people unfortunately had to bake huge quantities of matzahs, and they were doing it in a way which is compromising their shmira of actual chimutz.
I didn't like it.
And so, because of this concern, that people were going to be eating chametz mamish, because they have to eat tons of matzah, and in their haste to take tons of matzah, they're either going to make very thick matzahs, which are going to become chametz, or they're not going to be nizar. And what about the poor people? The groifin, that's accessible to all. It's cheap. Everybody should eat it. Shalom al Yisrael. That's the first approach to this minhag, which is, at any chance you get, just cut it down at the knees. Second approach, lashon ha'maril, kol de'gozer rabbanon chayav olav misa. Kol to Gozer Rabbanon Chayav Olav Misa. What does he mean, Chayav Misa? Probably he is alluding to, I don't think so. I think he's alluding to, we'll get to Lo Sasser in a second. I think he's alluding to Poretz Geter Yishchenu Nachash. And the Gemara says that means that the Poretz Geter, meaning the person violates an Issa Drabbanon Yishchenu Nachash, they're going to be, you know, you're going to be, you know what. The next line in the Ma'aril is, Va'od, there's a din of Lo Sasser here. The question is, what exactly is the nature of this din? Is it one angle that more like the Chasam Sofer, which is that, well, I shouldn't say more like the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer, when you read that tshuva in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph, I put it on the Mar Mekomos, I forget where it is offhand, you get two different emphases. One is Kofchav Beis. One is that it is a minig which developed. The other is that it is a takana. And there may be a difference. If you assume that it was just a minig, a long-standing minig, but not a formal takana, then you could say when it's a Shas Adchak, Shechter likes to say, Shas Adchak, if it's a minig, they never accepted the minig in a Shas Adchak. They only accepted the minig when it's in a normal circumstance. So if it's a Shas Adchak, you have a lot of room to be mekel. But if you assume that it's a takana, or that it's a formal gzeira, then it's a much bigger issue. even within the tzad that it's a minhag, if it's a minhag which developed into some kind of collective neder, so then too you're going to have a serious concern. And this is what that long tshuva has in the Chayadim, where he is very machmir, and it sounds like he's only makel when it's like karov l'chayi nefesh. It's a tzarchin if you can ever have hatara, because this takana is mishum siag. But if you look in the Stechemet, the Stechemet says, I don't agree with that. Stechemet thinks he quotes from Tzulur from the Mahari Mibrisk. He says that even on the level of a takana, that kol ki haigavna lo gazru, then when it's in a shasat chak, the people are hungry, not even chai nefesh, shasat chak lo gazru. But there's another tweak which we can have, and we'll finish with this last couple of words before they come in for mincha. There is a din when it comes to hataras nadarim, that if you have a minig that you have accepted, that you have to do hataras nadarim if you want to change that minig. But Rav Shechter likes to point out, and some of the achronim in this context mention this, that if you're changing the minig, if you're changing your practice, not redefining your practice, you're just saying, I'm not observing this year machmas choli, but I'm going to go back to it next year. Rav Shechter points out from a bunch of achronim, I think Rav Avadya quotes it here, that there is no need to do hataras nadarim. So once you say that if it's just for this year we're going to suspend the din of kidneyos, then you wouldn't need to do hataras nadarim. And therefore, even if the takana required hataras nadarim, then you wouldn't need to say it. Last two items before we finish. Number one is kalim. So Rav Avadya points out in the Chazon Avadya in Os Ches, that it doesn't aser kalim, even though in the tshuva he recommends that you have separate kalim, it doesn't aser kalim. Number two, what's that? Everyone cooked it. That's right. That's a good nafka mina. So Rav Avadya says that you can use the pots. It doesn't aser kalim. And not only that, in the footnote he quotes, this is in the section on Hilchos Mitzrachim Azon in the Chazon Ovadia, in footnote Ches, he says, he quotes, G'dol mizu, nira shemutal Ashkenazi le'echo b'bayis svaradi v'pesach, ve'ein tzorech lishol im bishlu ba'olso yom kinyos ba'olso kedera. He quotes a prichadash in Simen Tav Tzarivav. Even if the kli was a ben yomo, he quotes that it's mutter to eat from it, and you don't even have to ask. However, in the end of the Tshuvin Yechavadas, he does say that it is proper lechatchila yesh liyached kelim yuchadim letzorach zeh kedei shelo yishtamshu bekelimim atzmo letzorach anashim gedolim, which we'll talk about what that tshuva is about in a second. He says lechatchila you should have separate kelim for the kitnios, but if you have it, it's mutter to eat it, and you don't even, if you're an Ashkenazi, you don't have to start drisha v'chakira to the host to figure out if they use the kalim. Why should this be so? Because the sheer bittul. If you saw the Trumas Hadeshin, he said, if a little bit, if one little thing of chita, of kidney has fell in, you don't have to worry about it. So the pashas of the Trumas Hadeshin is that it's not bittul b'mashu, you don't need bittul b'mashu, at least you need bittul b'shishim. However, if you saw the Chok Yaakov and the Chayodim, and the majority of the Achronim assume that when it comes to kidneys, it's only a minig, so it's maspik bittul b'rov. So now you can understand that if the whole thing is only a minig, and it's bittul b'rov, of course it shouldn't asu the kalim. Now, it's true, bittul b'shishim and isur kalim, we know from Hilchas Abishalakam, don't always go hand in hand. It's a complicated steer in the Shulchan Aruch. But here, it makes sense that number one, it's bittul b'rov, even on Pesach. And number two, it doesn't aser kalim. What about, so that's in terms of your, you know, your own use of kalim that were nishtamish. But what about Ashkenazi children eating kitnios? So Rav Avadya suggests in his tshuva, he thinks that it is mutter to give Ashkenazi children kitnios on Pesach. Why? Because we know there's a din of lo sachilum. The Gemara says in the Maseches Yevamos that you're not allowed to give a child an iser to eat. Separate from the question of mafrishin, you are not allowed to feed a child an iser. However, this machlokas, the Rashba holds that that's only a din when it's a Michael Aser min HaTorah. But if it's Aser mid Rabbanon, there's no Iser of Safinon on Iser to Rabbanon. This has nafkaminas for all areas of Halacha, you know, Halacha Shabbos nafkaminas and others. Depends what kind of lights you have and all kinds of things. So this Rashba, number one, Rashba says, Iser Rabbanon, there's no Iser Safinon. So the kidney is, it's only a Din Rabbanon for sure, and there's no Iser of Safinon. But number two, Rav Avadya thinks that even according to the Rambam, who says there is an Isra of Safinan on a Din Rabbanon, he thinks that the Rambam will agree in this Din. Why? Because this is only a Minag Legeder V'siag. There's no Isra of Safinan, and he quotes from the Tshuvas Shem Aryeh that even though the Rambam said there was a Minag not to eat Peiros Yuvashim B'Pesach, nonetheless, L'chol adeos, they are roi l'ktanim because it's only l'chumra ba'alma. V'chein kasa b'tshuvas kol mavasar. He quotes in the kol mavasar. I put a tshuva from the kol mavasar on the Mar Makomos for a different reason. The tshuva is the kol mavasar. That was interesting. I didn't mention it before in the context of the Shas Hadchak. There was a meeting of the Rabbanut and it took place, it says, in Tavshin Yud Aleph. There was some reason where there was a Shas Hadchak, so they were matar kitneos because of the Shas Hadchak. Who is the Tshuvas Kol Mavasar? The Heiliger of Meshulam Roth of Bnei Brak, who has this Tshuva also, not just, he has a separate Tshuva that Rav Avadya is quoting about giving it to children. Rav Meshulam Roth also has another Tshuva, not Nogea to this, but it's Nogea to an upcoming Yom Yerushalayim, where the Tshuvas Kol Mavasar, Rav Meshulam Roth from Bnei Brak, he holds that you recite Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim with a Bracha. Because they went from Mavis L'Chaim. He's also known for a tshuva. He has a tshuva discussing whether or not there should be an Echerim to visit Germany after the Holocaust. Because he quotes, there was some discussion about whether there was ever a Echerim to visit Spain exactly. So he says, well, if you look, and there actually was never such a Echerim, but there was a shmua about such a Echerim. So someone asked him, is there such a thing? Should there be a Echerim that people should not be able to fly through Frankfurt? Isser Lidruch Kaf Regel in Germany after the Holocaust.
What?
Yeah, that was the Shiloh. That was the Shiloh. So anyway, so Rav Avadya quotes from the Kol Mavasar, he quotes from Rav Shulam Roth, who says that there's no Isser to be Machlik Tanim. So this is important Ha'ara that I'm not sure how many people are aware of, that sometimes you have a case where you need to feed the kids, like Erev Pesach, and you can't give them chametz, and you can't give them matzah, and I don't know, you don't have shepherd's pie or something else. So Rav Avadya would say, you should get a pot, keep it as your kidney stick a pot, and you should check the rice three times, and make sure that it doesn't have any wheat in it, and then you can feed it to your kids. Even on Pesach, yeah. Because it can't be a formal Issur D'Rabbanan in the sense that it didn't take effect. It didn't exist in the time of Chazal. So it will be a later day minig or takana or gzeira, depending on which of those approaches. And there's a lot more to say. We're just being very makatzer today. But you saw there's a whole huge arichus on this inyan of a minig becoming a takana and the efshel levatel, efshel levatel. Tama Takana is gone, not Tama is gone, but it's not a Gzeres Chazal, and even if it were a Gzeres Chazal, it's not a Gzeres Chazal that really has an Ikra Doraisa, it's a Gzera Atu, it's a Minig Atu, so it's a Chubba Ba'alma, and therefore he quotes Agudas, I don't know who this is, Tshuvas Agudas Ezov Midbari. Any familiar with that tshuva?
Great name. Desert Hyssop.
I don't know which Gaon decided that it was going to be a great idea to call their tshuvas the Agudas Ezo Midbari? I guess. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. But he quotes also for this Techemed that it's not Odif from Bishol Akum, that it's only a Chumra Ba'alma, and therefore you should be allowed. Therefore, he says, "Nira shemuta losis latinokus bepesach oris o ketane o kitnius mevushalim kishehim tzrichim lekach." Kishehim tzrichim lekach. Now, it doesn't mean stam. You give it to them for no reason, but if they're tzrichim lekach. So let's summarize. We started with the Gemaras, where it's clear from the Gemara that there was never, ever a chashash of kitnios at all in times of the Gemara. Then we said that there was this one story that Rav was concerned about the Avodim in the house of Resh Galusa, which according to one Mahalach, right, one of the three Mahalachim that we shown him, is a Gzera of kitnios. So that got the ball rolling to say that, okay, in the Balei HaTosfos, there was this concern, two primary directions in terms of why we should be worried, either because you're going to confuse it with the Mine Kemach that are made of the Chamishas Minim, or you're going to get it mixed in with potential Nafkavinas. We talked about a couple of examples of what is and what is not included in this general principle, this prohibition of kitnios, that corn is included, debate about peanuts, question about sesame. Then we talked about the derivatives of kitnios, Schumann kitnios, with common kashrus agencies being machmir, but the Ber Yitzchak has substantial reason to be mekel. We talked about the fact that the question of shas hadchak is going to depend to some degree on whether or not this is really more of a snowball, an advanced minug, which the Morik Tzvi already said was a bad minug. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rabbi Yerucham, who called this a, quote, minug shtus. On the other hand, you have like the Chayodim, who says that this is, you know, chok v'lo yavar, very, very harif. And we saw that Lomaisa, B'Shas HaTchak, the modern-day poskim are going to be making like the Tshuvas Kol Mavaser, quotes from the Rabbanut HaRashit, and the Chasam Sofer already was dealing with this issue, and the even if you assume that it's not, Nitan Lehatara, but like if Shechter says, it's only for Horosha, you're going to go back to it next year, or like the Stechemet said, that the original Takana was never a case of a Shas HaTchak, and then the last items about using Kalim being related to the Shir Bittul, and the fact that it's not an actual Issa D'Rabbanan, that's Ikara D'Oraisa, everybody would agree, says Rav Adya, but welcome Tzorich, you could feed it to Ketanim.